20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is good to be back. I'm Steve Bratch, joined by Dusty Evely and Sarah Kelleher. The Dream Team is back together again. Dusty, Sarah, how are you guys doing?
Great. Great. It's great to talk to you guys. Great to see you guys.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited that we're all back together. And yeah, super pumped.
So there's been a lot going on in the month since we've been off. Pack-A-Day was killing it with amazing episodes, covering everybody on the draft. Even did some recap, which was great, great stuff. But we really haven't talked about it to all of our listeners. So, Sarah, let's start with you. I mean, gut reactions. What were your initial thoughts on the draft?
Yeah, if I had to use one word to describe it, it would probably be shocking. I think, and I know we'll get into it later, I've kind of come to terms with some of the picks, but just the first few rounds, every time the Packers made a pick, I would just stare at my TV like, what? Why did we just do that? I can't believe we just did that. Why did we do that? And would run to Twitter for someone to explain to me what the heck was going on. And everyone else was just as confused as I was. So definitely shocking. At the end of it all, I don't hate it, but really shocking and surprising to see the direction that they went.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, it was we all kind of talked a little bit ahead of time. And like Sarah said, we're going to get into a bit. But those first three picks, I've settled down on it a bit now. But definitely those first three, like I wasn't mad as much as Sarah. I don't think you just said it. We talked before that like you just didn't feel anything. There wasn't like, wasn't happiness. There wasn't anger. There was just kind of blank void of nothingness, which is kind of where I was. It was just like, did they read the wrong name off the card? Did he read the wrong name off the card? Just, I mean, the love one was legitimately shocking. And then, you know, two and three was kind of the same thing. That was this, what is this 1982? Like what draft is this? I don't understand. I think now that I've settled down, and again, we'll get into it in a bit. Now that I've settled down, I've firmly settled into, I don't like where they were taken necessarily, especially the second, third round picks, but I like the players overall and what they're going to bring to the offense. So I've definitely kind of, after thinking about it, I like the players. I don't necessarily like where they nabbed them, but there's 1,000 things that go into that.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of in the same boat. I remember I was sitting in my office in like my comfy chair, had some wings, had a beer. I was like good to go. And it's always like that nervousness of like, are they going to do something stupid? Are they going to do something stupid? And so I'm sitting there, I've got like a football and it's like pushed against my nose and I'm not even looking at the TV. And then it says Jordan Love. And I just drop my head and drop the football. And it's funny because I did the exact same thing for round two and round three. I sent you guys a direct message with Jim from the office. Like, what is going on? I don't understand this. Again, like it's acceptance. You kind of, you deal with it eventually. And hopefully there's a reason that the GM and the head coach are in those positions and making these picks. And we're just on Twitter trying to analyze them as best that we can. I mean, I forget it was after the first night, but I had somebody immediately reach out to me like, okay, like I need you on Pack-A-Day Podcast right now so you can yell about the fact that they traded up and took a quarterback instead of Patrick Queen. And believe me, I would have freaking died. I think there would have been pants off running around the house and, you know, live stream video, everything. It would have been outstanding. But I don't know. The Packers don't seem to care that much about inside linebacker. So I think as Dusty said earlier, I'm a defeated man. I have to just realize that this is not a position they're ever going to invest highly in. And I think it just, you know, it is what it is at this point. But yeah, overall, I mean, Dusty, I know we've talked a little bit too about how we think that this might be, you know, padding Matt LaFleur's offense as opposed to what we were looking at for Mike McCarthy's offense. And we actually did a mailbag, so wanted to hear everybody's questions. And we did get a lot of draft talk from everybody, so we're just going to roll into some of that stuff. We'll start with a question from @OliMurray1. which draft pick has the best chance of playing 50% of the snaps week one? And we're not allowed to answer none of them. So, Sarah, we start you. So, Dusty, what do you got for me?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky just not knowing kind of how the offseason is going to progress. I mean, you need that time as rookies to kind of come in, learn the playbook, get all that. And so we don't know how that's going to impact any of this, but we have to choose someone. So I'm going to go slightly off book with this, I think, from where I was originally setting. I'm going to go DeGuara, mainly because I really, really like him. Now, I will say that generally, like a tight end, Tight end is one of the tougher spots to go from college to the pros. Just there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. I mean, I've read enough where they say like it's a lot of times you're that extra offensive lineman. So not only do you have to know, you know, your route tree and what everyone else is doing, all the passing concepts, you also have to know all of the line adjustments and all that. So you're kind of learning two positions. That's really, really tough from a young guy to get in. But they drafted him third round. They liked him. They like his skill set. They're going to be using him as a receiver. They're going to be using him a little bit as an up-back role, kind of that fullback, maybe splitting him out a little bit. Now, I don't know what his production is going to look like. Probably not high. But I do think that just having him in there is going to open up some stuff for the offense. So I can see them, like, from the jump saying, this is our guy. We really like him. He's a little raw, but we're going to try to work him in. So I could see DeGuara doing, you know, a shade over 50. Let's give him 51. Like, he's not going to be out there all the time, but I do think he's going to be out there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think when we all saw this question, there was kind of two answers where we were like, okay, this could be realistic, and that was DeGuara and Dylan, for sure. Yeah. I mean, those are the guys that if you're going to see them, or the draft picks that we're going to see right away if we do, especially with Dylan. I think obviously they drafted a third running back for a reason, and he is a beast. I mean, he looked, and that was one of the picks that when it happened, I was a little surprised. And then once I, you know, looked up his highlights and other things about him, I was like, wow, he really could add a lot to this offense. And even though, you know, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are great, you know, there was a couple times this past season where I felt like we were on, you know, within the 5-yard line, we couldn't just punch it in. And I feel like Dylan is the type of guy that can punch it in. So I could see, you know, I'm not saying he's going to play more than Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, but I definitely think like we'll see him utilized in ways to kind of push through, pick up a few yards when they need it, and they're trying to move the chains a bit. So I think either him or, like you said, Dusty, would be the right answers there.
Yeah, and I guess if I have to answer this, if we're going to take maybe one of the offensive linemen that, I mean, everybody's been talking about John Runyon Jr., how he's, you know, could potentially push for the right guard spot, which, you know, Dusty and Sarah and I were talking beforehand of, you know, with everything going on right now, let's say that there's a limited training camp. Let's say that's, you know, COVID is still going on and, you know, they're limited in what they can do. I mean, it's going to be hard pressed for a rookie to get that much impact, especially week one. I mean, unless there's a catastrophic injury or something like that, or he just blows people out of the water. I mean, getting a 6th-round pick to jump to the starting lineup in the NFL is going to be a tall tale or a tall task. But if anybody is going to do it out of those offensive linemen that they drafted, we all kind of decided that Runyon would probably be the best case scenario for that situation.
None of us said Jordan Love. I'm proud of us.
That's weird.
I'm proud of all of us.
I really wanted to screw with everybody.
Strange how that happens.
It's shocking. It's shocking. all right, Dusty, this one's going to be for you. We're going to give you the floor. This is from Christopher Karlecki, and he wants to know, can you talk to us about the illusion of complexity that will be this coming year, and also a bit about Josiah DeGuara? I think low-key Dylan could be on the field a lot with his blocking ability and flanking out Jones, etc. Very excited. 2!
Yeah.
Excited. So you've got the floor. We'll let you take away.
All right. Yeah, so I've thought a little bit about this. I want to, he mentioned Dylan, and I'm not really going to touch on him too much. I do think he's going to be used. I do think, for the reasons Sarah said, we also saw early last year, we saw some of the pony package stuff with Williams and Aaron Jones on the field at the same time, especially when Devontae was out, and how effective that was. I think one of the reasons that touches on maybe why they grabbed another running back, one of the reasons they didn't go with that too much is I don't think they trusted Dexter Williams to really step in, and you know, they ran through a handful of other RB3s there. So they don't want to overwork. I believe they
still don't trust him.
I don't think they still trust him. I believe that's true, Steve. But they don't want to overwork those two guys. So that pony package that was really effective, they didn't really run that out too much. So I do think we're going to see some more of that, and I'm excited to see where Dylan fits in. But kind of, I really want to focus on DeGuara. I think the Packers tight end group, again, kind of a reach, or kind of what appeared to be a reach at the third round. I certainly was not expecting that at all. But right now, the Packers tight end room isn't particularly diverse in terms of maybe what LaFleur wants to do when you talk about illusion of complexity. You've got Mercedes Lewis, who is a very, very good blocker. And the best you can say for his receiving ability is that he's a sneaky good receiver, because people don't expect him to run routes. He's fine, but he's not, I mean, he's 38 or whatever. Like, he's not going to kill anyone with his receiving ability. Sternberger and Tanyan profile as good receivers, but not great blockers. Both of those guys made pretty good strides last year, I thought, as the season went on. Especially Tanyan, I thought, showed a lot. But they're still never going to be, like, anything above slightly below average blockers, I would assume. I think what DeGuara gives you, when you talk about illusion of complexity, again, kind of what we're talking about is this: you can run out the same personnel and run different things, or run the same thing out of multiple looks. Those are kind of two different ways you can talk about it. And so, kind of do that, you need a personnel grouping that is diverse enough to be able to threaten either way. You need, if you run out, 22 personnel, which would be two tight ends, two running backs, or two running backs, two tight ends, one receiver, we would like to legitimately be able to power rush out of that. Or then if they load up against the power rush, you're able to spread it out wide. And with the personnel grouping they had with, you know, we'll say Sternberger, Tanyan, those two basically as one guy, or Lewis, you're kind of telegraphing what your intentions are. If not necessarily telegraphing, you're hampering what you can do a little bit. You're taking a hit. If you get Lewis out there, you're either telegraphing we're running, or we're taking a hit on the receiving ability on this because we like what he brings. And kind of the opposite of that was Sternberger and Tanya. With a guy like DeGuara, what he can do, he's a very good blocker and can profile as, if not necessarily a super dynamic receiver, a pretty good receiver. And so when he's out there, he's not going to be Gronk, but he can legitimately threaten you in the run game or the pass game. So you could run 11 personnel out there, which is, you know, one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. And depending on how that shoots out, if that's, you know, Aaron Jones, DeGuara, and then pick your three wide receivers, you could go not necessarily power run, but you could do a decent amount of running off of that, or very easily spread the offense out, especially with what Jones can give you in the passing game. So what my thought process always is when I'm looking at personnel groupings, it's always, can you dictate your mismatches, and exactly how can you kill teams with them? How many different ways can you kill teams with them? And then you do that if you can get them on the field. How many different ways can you do that if you go up no huddle? I've talked about this before. And so basically, if you can roll out a grouping with, like, you know, one running back, two tight ends, two wide receivers, and you could spread the offense out or run, and you get one or two mismatches in there on the defensive side of the ball, you can just go up tempo and just kill them down the field, which LaFleur has talked about in the offseason about going a little more up tempo. So I think a guy like DeGuara, probably not necessarily Dylan, although I do hear his hands are, you know, a little better, maybe a better receiver than maybe he was given credit for. But I think a guy like DeGuara opens up a ton for what the Packers and specifically LaFleur wants to do in the passing game. So I think we're talking about illusion of complexity. Again, you're talking about what can you run with the same personnel grouping? How many different ways can you run it? And how can you make it look different? And I think you can do that with a guy like DeGuara in there if he does what it looks like he can do. So I think, I mean, of all the picks, if this is not overly shocking, if you just listened to this past 10 minutes of me rambling, of all the picks, DeGuara is the guy that I think could really transform this offense. And if he can do that, if he can really hit, and maybe not his rookie year, and especially not the beginning of his rookie year, if he can do that and make that impact and keep teams guessing and you're able to play off those mismatches, a third round pick's a steal for a guy that can do stuff like that. So I'm really excited for him and what he can do to unlock LaFleur's offense a little bit more.
Sarah, do you have anything to add to that?
No. When we all saw that question, I know in our heads, we were like, that's a Dusty question for sure.
That's so. That's my burner account. I ask questions I would like to answer.
Oh my God, actually, I believe that. I totally believe that.
Tomorrow the same account will comment and be like, Dusty's answer was so thoughtful. And yeah.
Boy, he's so good looking. Thank you, Christopher. That was awesome. I really appreciate that. I was going to talk about it regardless. I'm glad there's a prompt.
All right, let's move on. Sarah, you got a question from Brett through one of your DMs, and it was, in all honesty, if you were the Packers, who would you have chosen in the draft, and would you have traded up to try to get them? So, Sarah, we'll start with you, and we're kind of just – we'll keep it at – they're at 30 – would you have traded up for somebody or who would you have taken at 30?
Gotcha. So I don't know. I'm still not over that they didn't pick a wide receiver. Like, I get it, but part of me just really wanted them to pick a wide receiver so bad. So I probably would have stayed put. And I know that T. Higgins from Clemson was still available. And I think his speed and everything would have been perfect to complement Davante Adams and everything, and what they could have done together would have been great. Obviously that didn't happen, but that would have been, if that would have happened, I totally would have been okay with it. I would have been calm. I would have not been shocked and staring at my TV, my jaw to the floor. So that's what I'm going to say. Nothing too crazy. Wide receiver. I don't think a lot of people would have been angry about that either. I don't think Twitter would have exploded.
Oh, I kind of think the Packers Twitter would have exploded either any pick they made, they would have freaked out. So it would have been, you know, they picked Higgins too early. They could have traded down. What were they doing? Goody sucks. Like, you know, we're all bottled up in our houses and everything. So I think, you know, adding the draft to it, people were just bubbling with anger and excitement all in one. So it all blew up at the draft. But Dusty, who would you have taken?
It's tough, man, because, I mean, the wide receiver thing, I mean, I was looking at some wide receivers, and, I mean, the two guys that were like, well, maybe they'll fall, and they started falling a little, and then they're not falling far enough was Jalen Reagor and Justin Jefferson, who went 21 and 22. I don't think the Packers are spending the draft capital up to get one of those guys, and I don't know that they necessarily should have. Ayuk went at 25, and I wasn't necessarily in love with him, so I would have stayed put, maybe even tried to trade back a little bit, and the guy that I would have taken is not a guy that I don't think the Packers would have taken just from just their threshold stuff. KJ Hamler was on the board and he went early second. And I love KJ Hamler. Just his quickness and speed out of the slot, I think would have been huge for this offense. It would have been just a ton of fun to watch. So again, I don't think the Packers were going to take him. I doubt they're even looking at him, but KJ Hamler would have been just tremendous.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I was looking at the if either stay put or trade back. Obviously, it requires somebody calling you and wanting your pick, which is very, very important. But if they were, you know, able to trade back a little bit into the early second round, I think the two guys that I would have looked at would have shored up the defensive line would either been Ross Blacklock or AJ Espensa. I think that dude could have been just a beast to pair up with Kenny Clark and be on the inside and you know, let the Smith brothers eat on the outside and then, you know, look at the draft as going to get some offensive weapons second, third round, which they did. Overall, though, I kind of felt like the whole draft basically felt like one of your fantasy football drafts of every damn time you're like, there's a guy I want. He's falling to me. This is going to be perfect. I'm going to pick him. And then two spots before you pick, that's when somebody else snags him. So that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of the whole, that was a whole theme of the whole Packers draft overall. So that was kind of where I went. I probably would have went defensive line to kind of shore that up and help with the run game. But that's just me. Let's see.
Onto this, the Justin Jefferson to Minnesota, that literally hurt me. Like, I love Justin Jefferson. I thought he was fantastic, and he just kept kind of falling and falling, and I was like, could it happen? And then the Vikings picked him, and I literally was like, of course. Like, that literally was the worst feeling. Oh.
Well, and also, like a lot of mocks had Jefferson, like, well, he's not getting past Philly. And then Philly took Jalen Reagor, like, oh, okay, he got past Philly.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. Oh, dude.
Yeah, I got my hopes up and then dashed real, real quick.
Yeah, it did. Okay, next up we've got Bruce Weber, who gave us several good questions, which we'll try to hit a couple of them up if we can. First off, so let's maybe try to do a little bit quicker with some of these. But, Dusty, what was your favorite draft pick from the Packers?
DeGuara. I don't think I have to talk anymore about it. It's DeGuara.
Sarah?
Dylan, 100%. 100%.
I agree. I'm going to go with Dylan. Like, I think adding him to the mix and Jones being able to be flexed out wide, like, that's just going to give them so many options, which is what LaFleur wants. So, you know, as we all said, maybe if they would have done Dylan in the third, DeGuara in the fourth, and a wide receiver in the second, everyone would be super happy, but just not the way it went.
Especially in, like, December, him, like, and what he's able to bring to the team is going to be huge. Like, late in the season, there could be injuries, or, like, players could be beat up a little bit, and then it gets cold at Lambeau, and we need to run the ball a lot. Like, that's when I started thinking about all those things. I was like, okay, this makes sense. I see why we did this, and I'm kind of digging it now.
I'm excited for the first time he runs an angle route and catches a ball in the middle. That'll be like the uh-oh, happy learned how to putt moment. just really, really excited about that.
Oh my god, that's good. Okay, which area of the team concerns you for the upcoming season? Sarah, we'll start with you.
I mean, I'm going to go take a page out of your book here with inside linebacker.
Finally!
Just because I thought we would draft a little bit more defensively at times, and we didn't really. And I think there was a lot of times where we saw teams run all over Green Bay last year, and it wasn't fun. And some of those teams we'll probably have to face again if we make the playoffs, 49ers. So I'm a little concerned about that and what's going to happen there. I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I don't.
I'm going defensive side too, but I'm going defensive line. I mean, it's just you're hoping for some leaps there that I don't know if we can necessarily bank. I mean, it's Kenny Clark, and we know Kenny Clark's good. And then it's Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster, Montrevious Adams, who everyone hoped was going to take a leap last year and just didn't. And Kingsley Kiku, who was a interesting pick, kind of had a lot of upside and didn't really show a whole lot, you know, flashes here and there. So unless one of those guys takes a leap, that defensive line is a little shaky. I mean, they did sign Trayvon Hester, Mr. Double Doink, which was pretty exciting. I kept waiting for like a Snacks Harrison free agent signing that has not come through yet. But yeah, I think defensive line. I mean, in my mind, and I've talked about this before, but inside linebacker becomes less important if you have a defensive line that can kind of eat up those blocks and give more free rushing lanes. And right now the Packers just do not have that. So it's defensive line for me for sure.
I'm going to go a little bit off book, and I'm actually going to say the salary cap is the thing that worries me the most with Bakhtiari, with Kevin King, with Kenny Clark, with Jair Alexander coming up in the next 2 years. Like, all these people are starting to cost – they're going to cost a lot of money. And with Rodgers' contract, like, that's – it is what it is. Like, I mean, you got to pay the top-tier quarterback, but – there's not as much money to go around. So, I mean, there's going to be some tough, tough decisions that are going to be made in Green Bay, and it's not a super pretty picture, even with the salary cap going up $10 million every year. It's still a tough sell. So that is something that – I mean, I trust Russ Ball. Like, I think the man has done very well to get the team where they are and sign free agents and things like that. But, you know, when you do sign 4 big-ticket free agents 2 years ago, that's going to come home to roost at some point, and that's going to hit to your salary cap. So that is the thing that I think would concern me the most. Dusty, your current player on the team about to go off this coming season, I have a guess. I have a guess who you might say.
I'm curious. It's Jay Sternberger.
Yeah.
Sternberger is my dude, man. I mean, I think I've been watching him quite a bit. I'm working on – I've got, like, part 3 of a 3-part series going up on Packer Report in the next week, I think, just based on how they used him last year. I think he showed a lot. I mean, they I don't think they were necessarily using him. This is another reason I like the DeGuara thing. I don't think they necessarily used him in the way he was best suited, but I think DeGuara opens up Sternberger to be able to do that a little bit more. So I think Sternberger is going to be really, really good. It was a toss-up between him and EQ, but I think Sternberger is going to be real good next year.
Sarah, did you hear that one?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, who do you think?
Oh, I couldn't even say it with a straight face. I was going to say Jordan Love, and then I edit. Anyways, no, I think it's EQ. I would go with EQ. I'm really excited to see what he does this year. I think there was moments almost two years ago now, where we were like, okay, that there could be something there. And I was a little bummed, you know, when he went on IR last year and we didn't see much from him. But I think he could really grow this year. And with what they're able to do, I think now they have a unique set of skills at wide receiver. So they have Devontae, and then now they have Funchess in the mix, and then Lazard, and then EQ. I think the four of them could really find something. And I'm interested to see if EQ steps up and kind of like jumps Lazard in that pattern, or if Lazard kind of keeps performing at a high level like he was last year. So I'm really curious to see, but I think it's exciting, and he has all the potential to step up and be a player that goes off in the next season.
I'm going to go first round draft picks from last year. So I'm going to take both of them, and I'm going to take Darnell Savage. Like, I feel like he had some good flashes last year, you know, got nicked up a little bit here and there, but there were some plays there, like especially like week one against the Bears, like jumping routes and things like that, and having a whole offseason learning more from Patton and things like that, and pairing with Amos again. I think that's going to be even better for him. Like, I really hope he takes that big jump. And then Rashawn Gary, like, I feel like they're going to trust him more. They're going to use him more and just get creative along that line. And maybe that is something that we're not thinking of or seeing right now, but the fact that they can go Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, the Smith brothers, and maybe either a Lancaster or whoever, that might be one of the answers that they already have in their head as to why they didn't want to address the defensive line as much. They can get creative and move guys around. And I mean, he's a freak of an athlete. And if you've got the Smith brothers mentoring you and showing you how to work and how to do those things, I mean, I'm excited. Like, I feel like that's something that might come around as a home run pick now, and people will be able to eat their tweets a little bit later. So those would be the two guys that I would be super excited about for the upcoming season. And we have finally a non-sports related. Have you guys developed any new skills or talents while being stay-at-home sheltered? Sarah, you got anything?
I don't know if I would classify them as skills or talents, but I guess a hobby is my mom and I every single day have been doing a daily challenge of like finding the hidden items in photos. There's like this website,
okay,
daily challenge, and some of them are really easy and we find them in like 3 minutes or less than 3 minutes and we're done, and then others take us like 30 minutes to find all of them because they're really hard. But it's a daily thing, so we've been doing that. I've been home for like 6 weeks now, and we've pretty much done it almost every single day. So that's just something new. But my mom and I were talking earlier, and I was like, you know, that's kind of fun to just to take a few minutes. And so when I go back to Orlando, and whenever this kind of clears up and I can go back to work over there, I think we're going to keep trying to do it. And then we'll text and see who got the better score. But it's pretty cool. If anyone's interested, I can tweet the link.
Don't forget, you also started reading books again, too.
I did. I started reading books. That was like, I'd say, the first 3 weeks. And now the last 3 weeks, I've really just not read any books at all. I've binged a lot of Netflix. But maybe I'll pick it up again. Who knows?
Okay. Dusty?
I'll tell you what I have not learned, Steven. That's how to be good at Madden. That's one one skill I have not picked up during this time. Although, I mean, listen.
The second game was better.
Yeah, I went from throwing like 8 picks in the first game to 4 the second one. So, you know what? Not terrible, Steve.
Yeah, we'll have to play again sometime soon, and maybe you'll cut it down to like 2.
Yeah, for sure. I was actually thinking about that. We do need to get back on that because I do think I can win at some point. I do think I can win. I don't know about a skill. I had to learn some things. I work from home a couple days a week anyway, but working from home every single day, I had to find a way to kind of separate work life from home life. a little bit. So when I walk out my office door, it's not just you're walking right back into it. I need that, like, I don't have a long commute. It's 20 minutes, but I take that time to not only decompress, but kind of like go back over things that happened that day at work and almost kind of come up with some solutions or different ways to approach a problem. Just doing that. And I don't have that time. So I came up with different ways to do some of that. I sit and listen to a podcast for 20 minutes and just kind of simulate the drive home. So it's not a new skill, but it's something I had to kind of pick up to get my brain right, I think, from that kind of faking a commute. So that's been an interesting experience, I think.
So as far as me, I started with, you know, you see all those videos online and stuff, and I saw like the ones with the people with ping pong balls are like bouncing them off everything and making it into a cup. I'm like, that would be cool. So on Amazon, I bought 50 ping pong balls, and I started messing around with it. And my daughter has actually taken to it, which is kind of fun. So we started using like the little Tykes putter and like going down the stairs and trying to make it into a like a mason jar. And so we're just messing around. The unexpected factor was that my 2-year-old son hates it, like legit hates it whenever we start doing it, because somehow he's not involved enough. So he will start climbing the stairs and like batting the balls away. And it turns into utter chaos. So that kind of went away after a week or two and I stopped doing that. But I have gotten really into Little Tykes basketball. So, you know, we've got the little hoop, and my dog had popped the ball within like the first 2 days that we had gotten it. So I went on Amazon, found some cheap ones. I got like 6 of them for $20. And now we sit there and, you know, my daughter will shoot from like 5 feet away and she has to make 4 of them and I have to make 8 of them. But I shoot from like 27 feet away, like a legit 3-pointer. And sometimes we're outside, so you have to factor in the wind and everything. So, I've got a lot of time on my hands right now, but it's a lot of fun. So, and then my son will have to lower the hoop, but he likes to go and dunk and then just turns around and starts clapping for himself, which is pretty outstanding. So lots of family time going on right now, which is a lot of fun, but, unless I'm missing anything, I don't think there's any more football questions.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Then as per usual for us, we will end with one fun one, which comes from at Adam Brammer. And he wants to know, if you could create any Oreo flavor and Dusty had to eat it, what would it be and why? Sarah. So we kind of looked at this at first and we're trying to come up with a like original Oreo flavor that would be good. Before we reread it and said, oh, wait, no, we need to make Dusty eat something horrible. So we'll start in, I did go through a whole list of every Oreo that's ever been created. And there's a lot of them. But I mean, man, they've come up with so many that they're so good that, it's very hard to come up with a creative one, but so we'll lean in and we'll say, what's the gross one that we would make Dusty eat? Sarah, were you able to come up with one?
Yeah, I came up with a bunch of them. but I'll share my top three. So first would be pickle flavored.
Oof.
I feel like that would be a gross combination of things. Then I had flaming hot Cheeto Oreos.
I'd eat that.
Somehow I think that would be like a bestseller.
Yeah, I'd eat that.
Oh my gosh, I feel like that would be disgusting. Okay. And then barbecue flavored. Like chocolate on the outside, but barbecue filling.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be pretty gross. That'd be pretty. I'd like barbecue stuff, but I don't think those flavors mix. That's good. Yeah. That's a good subtle pull, Sarah. I like that.
See, you never know. Like the barbecue, like the sweet and the savory kind of thing. I don't know, but you never know.
They're not going to be able to get the barbecue flavoring right in that cream. Which means that's going to be a little off, and then you're mixing it with that chocolate. Like, it's... No.
Okay, that's fair. Man. I guess what I would go with then would be Packers-themed, and I would say a Swiss cheese-flavored Oreo would be... just because I would love to see Dusty, like, take a bite and just, like...
Okay, but the question is, does he know that it's Swiss cheese? Because it would still be white filling... So
that's actually it would probably that's be a big like, part of it. Yeah,
it depends on the Swiss cheese though. There's some yellow Swiss cheeses, and especially if you're going Packers theme, I would want it to be like a yellow Swiss cheese.
True.
And maybe like a chocolate Oreo that is actually like green, like food colored, to make it a Packer theme Oreo.
Honestly, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I really thought...
Duncan, you had to pick a horrible Oreo for one of us to eat. What would you pick?
Oh, just poop? One is poop, and then the other is just, like, any of the jelly beans from Harry Potter, any of the, like, the Bogart things or whatever. I can't remember what they call them. Any of those, like, vomit or earwax or boogers. Like, I'm going real... You guys are going foods. I am not going foods. I'm being real mean about it. And frankly, I'm proud of you guys for not going in that direction.
Legitimately, your first answer was poop.
Yeah, just straight poop.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. It's like birdie bots or something like
that. Yeah, that's right. I think you're right, yeah.
Yes. Okay. I knew all that Harry Potter knowledge would come.
You did it. Yeah, I don't know why you guys didn't go that direction, but yeah, it's poop.
I mean, I think we were thinking realistic. Like, you could see where in some twisted world, like on a snack account, there would be like pickled Oreos, but there's no way that Oreo would be like our new poop flavored Oreo.
First of all, Sarah, they make jelly beans. They make jelly beans. Second of all, no parameters on the question. Third of all, I don't know if you guys watch Nathan For You. There's a Nathan For You episode where he talks a frozen yogurt guy into making poop-flavored frozen yogurt as a promotional thing. So this exists. This stuff exists. It's in the world. And yeah, I don't know. You guys took the high road, and I wasn't expecting it. High-ish. You guys took the high-ish
good,
road.
Good Lord, I missed you guys. All right. Well, that will wrap it up for us. We've got some closing thoughts as normal. Sarah, do you have anything today?
Yeah, pretty much just I know things are crazy in the world right now, and everyone who's listening is probably in a different place. So some people's lives might look different than others, but just stay safe, everyone. And yeah, just if you need someone to talk to, I know the three of us have been big advocates on Twitter. Like, reach out. More than happy to talk to anyone. Your mental health is important right now as well as your physical health. So reach out if you need help, if you want to talk about anything, if you want to talk about Packers. We're always willing, or at least I am. I know you guys have said you have been in the past as well. We're always open to talk, and we're here for you guys too. So.
Yeah, I echo all that Sarah said. I mean, yeah, it's mental health is important. Having people to talk to is important. We're all working through this together, and everyone's got their own, I know, separate things. I don't presume to know anyone's life, so everyone's got their own separate struggles and own things they're working through. But yeah, if you need anyone to talk to, I know my DMs are always open. I'm always available. If you hit me up, if not immediately, at some point, you know, we can talk and get back to you. My email's out there as well, and so I can't promise to be amazing, but I'm certainly available to talk to if you need that. So for sure that, and then on a not quite that note, I'm still writing in the off season. So today when this comes out, I think I'm up to I've been writing these in advance. I'm having a hard time tracking them. I'm up to the Giants game. I'm going back through every game from 2019 season and breaking down a handful of plays that either I thought were cool or that were big in the grand scheme of the game, maybe in the second quarter. And so I'm up to the Giants game, which I forgot was a lot of fun. Like, it's driving snow. You had, I think Lazard had three catches for like over 100 yards. Like, that Giants game was a fun game. So I'll have that right up with three or four plays over on Cheesehead later today. So that's, if you need some football in your life, I've got some of that.
Yeah, and I'll end with, I completely forgot about one other thing that I've been doing in my downtime. You know, I've been furloughed as well, so I've got extra time. So I downloaded some GIF creator, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. And Dusty and Sarah know I've sent them many a GIF, so please look out for a fun one tomorrow to go along with the podcast. It's pretty, it at least makes us laugh. With that should end it for us. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. We've missed doing this for the last month, and we're all very excited to get back into it. Hopefully we've got some football, you know, that'll be coming up within the next few months. But as always, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast, at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, and at Steve Perhatch. Any kind of reviews that you can give us on whatever platform you take this is always much appreciated. But we will be back next week to talk some more Packers with you guys. Stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, go Pack, go.